Hi, this is Deirdre Turley, and you're listening to the Star for the Night Show. And our special guest today is Nikki Cox of the hit show Las Vegas.
It's time to step into the light.
Hello, this is Deirdre Turley, and today's co-hosts are the kids from the Cancer Center in Chico, California. They're interviewing our special celebrity guest, Nikki Cox, from the hit current TV show, Las Vegas. And also well-known shows are Happily Ever After, Star Trek Next Generation. And we're starting out with our first co-host, Adam Todd. And let's say hi to Nikki Cox. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Good.
It's an honor to talk to you. I've been a big fan of yours since Unhappily Ever After.
Oh, geez, you're nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I used to watch that every night it was on. It wasn't on Thursdays because of wrestling, but yeah.
Well, you know what? I would much rather watch wrestling than myself, too. I got to
You started out really, really early because I remember watching you on Star Trek. What was it, The Next Generation?
I started when I was 9.
You started when you were 9?
9 years old, yep.
Wow, how did you get into that?
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles.
Oh, that'll help.
So it was convenient. And I always wanted to be in show business, but neither of my parents were going for it. They did not like the idea at all. They're both very well-educated and had much higher aspirations for their kid than for her to be an actress. So they put me in a dance class, thinking that would be like a creative outlet.
Right.
It kind of backfired because a dance agent came into the dancing school and scouted me and said, would she like to try this professionally? And I begged and begged, and my folks finally relented and said, sure, you know, we'll let her go on a couple auditions, and she'll get her heart broken, she'll get it out of her system, and that'll be that. And then she can go, you know, get an education and become a doctor. And their plan backfired because I actually got hired and started working. And soon began acting at the same time, so it just kind of happened, and I've been fortunate enough that people have employed me ever since.
Yes, you've had a very successful career.
I've been really lucky.
Yeah. I noticed you were in Terminator 2. Did you get to talk with a lot of the cast there, like Edward Furlong?
You know what? I was in it for about 30 seconds.
No, I remember when you were in it.
You'll miss me. The only actor that I worked with was Robert Patrick, who played the bad Terminator.
Right.
And he was great. I mean, I was a very young girl. I think I was 10 or 11.
Right.
And he was terribly nice. But I'm going to be doing a small part in a movie that he's starring in pretty soon. So I'll get to work with him again in a couple of months.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed you're in a lot of small cameo parts all over the place. Like, I remember watching Boy Meets World the other day, and you were the date for Eric.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been around the block a few times.
I had a question for you. I don't know if you would know anything like it, but like I said, I was a big fan of Unhappily Ever After. Do you know if they're ever going to release the DVDs for that?
I have no idea, but it seems like they should, seeing as how shows that...
Yeah, it was on the air for a long time.
Shows that only lasted 10 episodes are out on DVD. So
right. Like Greg the Bunny, I think, had 13 episodes.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
Get that now. And your show with the Bunny was like 9 seasons. And
my guess is eventually it probably will, just because it seems like everything makes its way to DVD.
Right, right.
And I'd be happy because I barely saw any of them. So it would be pretty funny to look at myself with my terrible teenage fashion sense. It would be funny to look back on it.
I had a question about paparazzi, because I noticed that you, like, got Maxim's one of the hottest women ever, which is very true.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? You were number 51.
Wow, wait.
Out of the top 100.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Of 2005.
Right now I have a big head.
Yeah, do you get bothered by the paparazzi a lot over in L.A.?
You know what? Generally, well, first of all, I'm not terribly famous. And in L.A., everywhere you look, someone 10 times more successful is standing next to you in line at Starbucks.
So yeah, but you're pretty hot.
Wow, you're pretty nice. they tend to leave you alone unless you're on their turf. You know, there's a few areas, like there's the Ivy and there's clubs and things like that, where if you go, you know they're going to be there. So I don't really do any of that. I don't go clubbing and I don't go to premieres and parties and all that. So, you know, just at my little neighborhood grocery store. and whatnot. No, everyone completely leaves you alone.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
The only time that I've noticed people really get hounded is when they're in on that turf, you know? So
yeah.
If you know they're going to be there, then you can't really, in my experience, complain very much because that you know they're going to be camped out. But if you just go about your normal life, then no, not a bit. In New York, they're actually more aggressive than they are in Los Angeles.
Hey, sorry about that. I had a weird kind of question. Does it ever bother you, like, stories on the internet about you, or, like, all kinds of fake pictures where people post your head on different bodies and it's kind of gross?
Well, all I can say is I hope that they give me a nicer body. I hope they give me a cuter body than I really have. But,
Yeah, because we were looking on the internet for you, and at least I was on home, you know, doing my research, and I forgot to filter my search, and a lot of things came up that were, like, obviously crazy fake.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, I've never done anything like that, so obviously anything that of me that's nude is fake. but like I said, well, also, this is going to sound like I'm in the dark ages, and I am, but I don't have a computer.
Really?
So, no. I have one of those little handheld devices so I can exchange emails,
right.
Work stuff and whatnot, but I don't have a computer, so I don't have a website, I've never looked at any of my own things. So
you have a lot of websites.
Ignorance is bliss, I think, and if people are saying kind things, that's lovely, but, you know,
yeah.
The old adage is if you believe the nice things, you also have to believe the crappy things, so I find it's best just to kind of ignore it. Since I don't even own a computer, it's kind of... It's all a mystery to me.
Well, that's very noble.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's probably pretty much I'm ignorant in the dark ages, but I always tell my mom, you know, don't go on the internet because you're going to see stuff you don't like. So just avoid it.
What do you do for fun if you don't have a computer?
What did people do before the advent of computers? Spend time with my family. I'm going to be getting married soon, so wedding planning. I work a lot. I cook. I love to read. I watch TV, watch movies, take walks. Really all pretty square and nerdy and boring.
Well, healthy. And as far as you getting married, could you tell us the story of how you met your fiancé?
Sure. I was at work on the show Las Vegas, and an actor came on to do a guest spot, and we worked together, and we met, and the very first day we clicked, and he asked me out on a date, and I was happy to say yes, and within a few weeks it was pretty obvious that we were head over heels, and his name's Jay Moore, an actor in a comic, and I'm the luckiest girl I know.
Jay Moore?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Now, he's an actor, right?
Yes, he is.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yep, that's going to be my husband.
He's a pretty big hottie, too.
He's gorgeous. I can't believe my good fortune. And that's the least of his qualities. He's a wonderful man and a wonderful father. And
are you having a private or a public wedding?
Oh, the smallest possible. It's going to be very, very small. Just our immediate family, our closest friends, and that's it. I've never even had a birthday party, so the idea of a big wedding is very foreign.
You've never had a birthday party?
No, not since I was tiny. I mean, I'll have a birthday cake with my parents and my brother and my grandma, but that's it. I've never had, you know, a party, no. Although my last birthday, my family and I did go to Chuck E. Cheese.
No.
Oh, yeah, for my 27th birthday, we went to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I hope I go to Chuck E. Cheese when I'm 27.
You know what? It's great.
Did you play video games?
The piece is good. You play skee-ball.
Skee-ball? Yes.
Yeah, heck yeah.
That's where it's at.
Do you have any other questions, Adam?
No, you know what? I think that's it, because there's other people that, you know, I'm sure want to talk to her. But thank you very much for talking to me.
Okay, our next co-host is Michael Pingator.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi, Michael.
Back when you were young, you did a lot of dancing, right?
I did.
Yeah, and you wanted to do that for probably till you got older, right? Like your age right now.
Yes, I did do a lot of dancing, but it kind of, when I was about 14, 15, because I was doing both, I was acting and dancing professionally at the same time, it kind of came down to, well, you have to pick, you can't do both. And dancing is the hardest life, dancers have the hardest lives, pays terrible. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And your career's over by the time you're 30.
Oh.
It's hard. I mean, it's like being an athlete, you know?
So
unless you really, really, really have the what it takes, you can't make it. And I knew I didn't have what it took to really stick it out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm a national... sorry?
What I loved doing more was the acting. But I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I know where you're coming from on the dancing. I'm a national competitor water skier. I'm actually going to regionals next week.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, a lot of times with the kids from the Cancer Center, it's amazing because they have gone through so much, trials and tribulations with their illnesses and also their pain levels. They get to be at the point to where they can handle 1,000 times more than you and I would be able to do because
that's
they're
right, than you or I would ever be able to withstand.
Right, and
their endurance and stamina and strength is like, remarkable. And
yeah.
The rest of us look like foolish mortals.
But they end up being such spectacular athletes, and they excel at so many things, and just incredible, amazing human beings, you know, going through such, you know, traumatic experiences at a young age, and then, you know, just like with Lance Armstrong.
Absolutely. And so a little thing like a Tour de France is a drop in the bucket compared with the real things you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. And I have the ultimate admiration for anyone who goes through anything of that nature, and particularly, like I said, dancers, athletes, people who really physically push themselves to the limit. I admire it greatly.
Oh, cool. When you're doing your acting, back from being when you were an extra to being an actress now, what was your favorite part of all time that you did?
I'm hoping I haven't done it yet. I'm hoping I still get to do, you know, the part that really I can sink my teeth into. But in terms of where I've had the most fun, I did a sitcom for a couple of years where I played actually a dancer.
Oh.
I was married on the show to a guy who played a wrestler. So we got to do a dance number for every episode. So after having taken the time off from dancing, getting to go back to it and incorporate that with the acting, that was kind of a dream come true. And everyone was so incredibly nice, and it was a great time. So in terms of the fun that I had, I would have to say it was on that show.
Oh, that's cool. And so you kind of got both the fun things that you wanted. You
exactly.
Got to be a dancer from your kid.
Oh, it was a lot of work, but my word, was it a good time.
Huh. And what's your favorite role to play?
Favorite role? I did a show, actually, it took me a second, that never aired. It was a show for NBC that we shot. We did a bunch of episodes, and they never aired it, but it was a comedy, but I got to play a teacher.
Oh, cool.
I kind of just a real normal girl, a girl from Chicago who was a high school English teacher. And that was probably my favorite part in terms of it felt the most comfortable, and it was super well written, and it was really funny and sweet. That was probably my favorite character.
Do you know why that didn't get aired?
I have no idea. Just because show business is goofy. But they actually ended up, I think actually just a few weeks ago, they aired all the shows that we shot on. It was for NBC, but they ended up airing it on Bravo.
Huh.
So somebody finally saw it. Might have only been 10 people, but at least they got to see it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's your brother, Matthew Cox, how's he doing?
Very well, thank you. He's disgustingly handsome and terribly smart, and, you know, he's a teenager. He's our little rebel at the moment. He's a great guy.
Oh, that's good. Is he about his age? He's about going off to college, right? Or
he's taking classes, yeah. He's not going off to college.
Oh, he's almost there?
Yeah, he's 18, so he's still at home, and he's taking college courses, and I'm not sure what he's going to be. He's one of those guys that literally anything he does well, which I think is almost harder.
Yeah.
When you're good at everything, because how do you pick?
Yeah, it's really hard to choose.
Yeah, so I don't know what road he'll end up taking, because he could be anything he wants.
guess. He doesn't want to follow in your footsteps?
I think sometimes he wants to act, but then I think sometimes he realizes that it's not the easiest road to pick. So I really don't know what I'll end up doing.
Huh.
I know he'll end up doing well.
Oh, that's good.
He was quoting, crediting you for making him the most popular kid in his high school class because of getting him on a couple of your shows.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. I would think that it would make him, people would drive him crazy and tease him for it.
But really?
Sure. I mean, that's how I would feel if roles were reversed. I'd be going, leave me alone, that's my sister, you know? But... he's the best.
Hey, and your new top TV series, Las Vegas, how do you like playing your role?
I like it. You know, it's a big cast, so the weight of the show never falls on any one set of shoulders, which is really nice, because in the past, when you're one of the only leads, you know, it's a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
In a case like this, you know, it's a cast of thousands. So it's nice, and it's such a silly show. It's real, it's kind of just like Miami Vice type of a show.
Yeah.
So it's not like anything's ever too serious or hard. It's all lightweight, and we always have these weird guest stars coming through. And like we had Jewel on last week, and we've had Alec Baldwin and Wayne Newton, and so every week it's a circus. You never know who will be there, so that keeps it a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Do they cast people that are already there in Las Vegas, and that's how they figure out who's going to be the extra?
No, we actually shoot everything in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, they built one of the biggest sets in TV history here in L.A. That whole casino, all those bars, all of it, that's all a set.
Wow, so it's not actually in Las Vegas?
No, not at all. We shoot it all in L.A.
Wow.
So they cast L.A. actors. And occasionally we will get, you know, famous Vegas talent, like I said. You know, we had Wayne Newton. People like that that embody Las Vegas, and Lance Burton. But for the most part, we get L.A. actors because that's where we're based.
Hmm. Well, they did a really good job on the set then.
My gosh, they really did. I mean, the first time I walked in there, it blew my mind. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow. Yeah, and on the set of Las Vegas, have they made you do anything that you didn't really want to do? Like with lines or anything?
You know, that's kind of part of the job. That happens it's kind of a part of any job, I think.
Hmm.
You have to do stuff that wouldn't be your first choice to do. But as a, it's your work, you know? So you suck it up and you do your best.
Yeah.
Not really, I mean, you could complain or whine or whatever, but we have such good jobs. We play make-believe for a living. That even if they do ask you to do things that aren't your first choice, you just kind of take a step back and go, you know what? I've got it pretty good. I should just shut my mouth and do what's asked of me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing that you've done on the show Las Vegas?
See. Well, I met my fiancé there, so that would be my favorite highlight, without a doubt.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, hands down. That was the highlight of the whole experience.
That's very cool.
A lot of the fan club sites, you know, hear about these wonderful celebrities that we have on the show, and they love to tune in due to the fact that the celebrities are able to kind of pour their heart out, let their hair down, talk about things that they don't usually get a chance to hear, and the celebrities get a chance to talk about, you know, on the regular talk show you know, circuit. And so we like to ask some questions that are just sort of questions that will be candid and, you know, give you a chance to be able to talk about more personal things like...
Sure, no. I mean, so far it's been lovely. Usually it's just, okay, what time's your show on? Okay, great, goodbye.
Yeah.
Never asks you about your family or your past. It's really nice.
Yeah, what are your thoughts and feelings as far as... you know, motherhood and maybe having a family. You seem to have had a life where you've had it all, Nikki. And, you know, and you seem like you have such a beautiful heart and such a very giving person.
Wow,
and I would just love to hear about your thoughts on parenthood and the future.
Sure,
with
no,
that.
I would like to say, first of all, how nice of you to say all that. But as far as parenting goes, I think it is single-handedly the most important job. job any of us can ever do. It's all that really matters at the end of the day. There's no bank account, no set of awards on a mantle mean anything. You know, it all comes down to your family and what you leave behind and how you treat people. As far as being a mom goes, I was in a relationship for many years with a man who has a daughter, and so I raised her from 9 on. She's about to be 20, and
wow,
still lives with me. So I got to be a stepmom to her, which has been the ultimate gift. And my fiance has a 3-year-old boy, and I'm a stepmom to him. And he's there's no other word to describe him other than miraculous. And I just can't wait. I hope I'm lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to have my own. We want a brood. We want as many as we can have, you know. If I'm healthy and able, there's nothing I want more than to be a mom. And the fact that I've gotten to be a stepmom to these two amazing kids has just completely cemented it for me. That's really ultimately my goal and all that's very important. And I have such admiration for my mother. I'm actually calling you from my mom's house. I'm at my mom's today.
Oh.
My mom and I are very close. And I was lucky enough that she was a stay-at-home mom. So she's just always been there. She's always been my best friend and my greatest supporter. And I learned everything I know about parenting from her. And I respect her more than anything. So, yes, I hope I'm that lucky, and I can't wait. I just can't wait to have a blood family. I already have my kids. I already have my family, but I can't wait to have my own as well, growing.
And to expand.
Yeah, we'll be the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you have any stories of your past before you found your soulmate? Any stories of some heartbreaking relationships?
Well, sure. I mean, anytime you're with somebody and it doesn't work out, you never enter into a relationship thinking it's not going to work. You always have the highest of hopes and expectations. And I've only had a couple serious relationships prior to my, you know, my fiance now. The first one was with we were very young, and he was my very best friend, and I actually saw him recently, and I love him to this day. The second one was difficult because we were together for many years, and we were engaged and had his girl that we raised together, and that ended, and that was terribly heartbreaking. You know, it's really hard. I was immobilized. I moved back in with my parents for 2 months because I was heartbroken. You know, you think that your life is going to go one way, and then it doesn't. And you go through a grieving process, and I very much did. And I came, and God bless my parents, they took me with open arms, this fully grown woman who'd been on her own for 10 years. They said, come home, be a baby, we'll take care of you, we'll get you through it. And they did. I mean, they would feed me, and my mom would clothes for me, and literally dry my tears, and they got me through it. And shortly thereafter, I met the one. So obviously, it ended up being a fortuitous turn of events in that I've met the man that I was meant to be with all along. But at the time of the breakup, you know, we've been together for a very long time, 9 years, and it was devastating. It's always devastating, and it truly is a grieving process. It's a loss. The death of love is always sad for anybody.
Yeah, and the rebirth of a new love and having the experience behind you is always a great thing.
Yeah,
but
it
seemed like you...
It sounds like such a cliche, but it really, really is true that you absolutely learn. You learn about yourself, you learn about what you need, what you want, you learn about how you need to be treated, and you also learn about how to treat others. You learn what mistakes not to make. You know, you learn how you need to be, what kind of partner you need to be. So it is so cliche, but every cliche is based on truth, and I'm grateful that I was with that person for all those years, and there was a lot of love there, and I don't think that just because the relationship ends that it diminishes the love that was once there. So I don't want to say everything happens for a reason, because I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but everything happened, in my case, the way that it should.
Well, yeah, it gives you the practice. I call it practice.
Exactly.
Now, you've also, because you've been, you know, in magazines and listed as some of the, you know, with some of the top people of the most sexiest and the most beautiful, you are also a very highly respected role model with a lot of the younger people. And I'd like to ask you for some of your words of wisdom or advice as a role model for the younger people that are listening today.
Gosh, well, I would hope that they would pick someone who's far more philanthropic than myself, for someone who's contributed more to the world. But if anyone does, I mean, my only advice comes from my mom, and it's a pretty basic edict, and, you know, it's just quite simply to treat others the way you want to be treated. And our house motto, we have it up on our refrigerator at my house, be kind. Kind of simple. If you're kind, put that out there in the world, that you'll feel good, and I believe that that's what you will receive in turn. It's kind of, I think, all that matters is try your best to be kind, to be gentle, to be understanding, not to be cynical, not to be cool, not to be nasty. Just be kind.
Yeah. As far as a lot of inspiring actors and actresses, what advice could you give people that are wanting to get into the business and not have to do the tremendously hard things? If they were to go the easy route, what advice would you give them to get into it?
I would say find a class wherever you live. Find a local acting class or a community theater company and try it and see if you like it, because it can be hard and it can be daunting and it can be draining and it can also be really wonderful. But when you sit at home and watch a movie or you're in a theater and you're watching it, it's a much different story than actually, you know, learning the lines and putting on the shoes and doing the work. So I would say give it a try and see if it's something that you really love. And if it is indeed something that you're passionate about, then follow it through. But I would say before anyone just makes the leap and says, okay, I'm going to get an agent and headshots and I'm going to be in show business, I would say to really try it first where you live, whether it's a class or, like I said, a theater group or whatnot, and see if it is everything you thought it would be. And if it is indeed, you know, lives up to your expectations, then pursue it. Life's too short not to.
Yeah, that's so very true. Some people are just born knowing that that's their destiny and they have to pursue their dream.
Right.
A lot of them just don't know the first thing to do and the first place to start.
Yeah, well, I would say take classes and read and watch movies and absorb and observe, and once you decide that it is indeed what you want to do, then you take the next few steps, which is getting an agent, and then they kind of take you from there. Then the process starts anew. Then you begin auditioning, and you try to get work, and then, you know, there's so many steps to get to the finished product. But I would say my only real advice is to really look into it to be sure that it is what you love.
Well, that's very good advice. We also have another co-host, Angela Barriere. Did I say that right, Angela?
Yeah.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, Nikki.
Get closer.
All right, I only have a few questions for you.
Okay.
all these other guys have, like, this big, long paragraph. I have, like, three questions.
No problem.
Okay, what were you like as a child?
Super quiet. Kind of an introvert, read a lot, kept to myself a lot, only had a few friends that I still have to this day. I wasn't terribly popular at school at all. That was kind of tough, but I was just very content to be quiet. Very, very close with my grandma. Always happiest to spend the weekend at my grandma's house. And then when I wasn't kind of keeping to myself, I was dancing or working. But for the most part, I'd say I was a pretty quiet kid.
As far as you starting your acting career at such a young age, did you go to regular school or did you have to do tutoring?
I did both. I went to normal school. I went to a normal Catholic school for elementary and junior high. And then once high school began, I was on a series. So I did, I had a tutor on set for high school.
And how was that? What was that like?
It was really good because, like I said, I was kind of happy keeping to myself, and so I could go at my own rate. And I was never going to be prom queen or a cheerleader or anything like that. So for me, it was very good. But I think that for a lot of people, it's very isolating. You know, you don't get the normal experience of being a teenager, which, like I said, for me it was a very positive thing. But I can see how for others it can be quite strange.
Which famous actor or actress are you most grateful to have met besides your fiancé?
Well, I got to meet Steve Martin, which was huge for me because he was an idol growing up. I got to meet Al Pacino, and that was an unbelievable thrill.
Where do you meet these actors? Do you meet them on the sets, or do you run into them at parties?
No, I don't ever go to parties. Friends of friends, you know, they would have worked with someone that I know, and you get introduced and get to speak with them, and just it's all, you know, I'm a fan like anybody else. It's really neat and thrilling. I got to Alec Baldwin was actually on the show Las Vegas, and that was a big thrill for me because I'm a huge fan of his. But there's so many people that I'm just a fan from afar that I've not met, and I'm glad because I'm sure I'll be a starstruck, bumbling idiot if I ever did. Like, if I ever spoke with Felicity Huffman, I'm sure I would put my foot in my mouth. Or Meryl Streep, or, you know, there's so many people that I admire that I have not met. And it's probably for the best, because I'm sure I'd act like a real jerk.
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't. And they're very down-to-earth as far as their interviews as well.
And they seem, so, yeah, I mean, those two gals I admire so greatly. They seem like such wonderful moms, and I love their work. And they seem like they're both really funny and really smart. And those are the two qualities I like most in anybody. And, yeah, I admire them both greatly.
Is there anything that you haven't done yet in your life that is very curious to you, like going skydiving or taking culinary classes and, you know?
I've never traveled around Europe. I would love to go to Rome. I would love to see Paris. That would just absolutely blow my mind. Extensive travel is greatly appealing to me. I wish I spoke another language. I'm trying to learn how to cook, self-taught, so I actually cook dinner every night.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That's something that I'm learning to do as I go. Skydiving, sure, I'd be up for that. I don't know if my fiancé would be too keen on the notion of me jumping out of a plane, but that sounds fun to me. There's plenty of things. I never went to college, and that will always be my Achilles heel, is that I lack a formal education. Because both of my parents are well-educated, and that was always stressed as an important factor, and I've just been working. So the fact that I didn't go to college, that'll always bother me.
And
being, like I said, I mean, not to be redundant, being a mother is something that I can't wait to do. So, yes, there's tons of things.
I know, it just doesn't seem like you could fit it all in a lifetime sometimes, huh?
But you meet people that do, so I guess it must be possible.
Yep, you'll be able to fit it all in.
I hope so.
When I was younger, I had a crush on an actor named Corey Feldman. He played Mouth on the Goonies.
And I know who he is.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had a crush on any actor when you were a teen.
Oh, gosh. Actually, my crushes were always very strange. Even as a little girl, all my life, I always loved Jack Nicholson. Huge crush on Jack Nicholson. Huge crush on Dick Van Dyke. Huge crush on John Ritter.
These are all older men.
Huge crush on Steve Buscemi.
On who?
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi's awesome.
yeah, I mean, so my crushes were never... Yes, always old. I guess I've always liked them old.
My grandma...
I never really had the teen heartthrob phase too much.
My grandma says that Jack Nicholson is the sexiest man alive.
She says, I like the way she thinks.
She says it's not really his voice or the way he looks, it's the way he carries himself and the way he speaks.
Yeah, there's just something about him. I agree.
Yeah, well, back in my days, you know, we had posters of Donny Osmond and Michael Jackson and David Cassidy.
I got Donny Osmond. He did the show Las Vegas, and I got to tell you, I developed a crush on him because, my gosh, he's just the most charming person in the world, and he's gorgeous. He's just so lovely and sweet and just those teeth, and he's just so...
Those teeth.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there I was, 28 years old, going, I think I have a crush on Donny Osmond.
How cute. Yeah, he's just got that old-fashioned sexiness about him.
He's just so charming.
Uh-huh. Did you have any more questions for Nikki?
No. Thank you, though.
Sure. Nice talking to you.
How about you, Adam? Did you have a couple more questions?
Let me think about that. You let me go again?
Yeah.
You don't
think about that. Oh, I do. I did have a question that I didn't get asked in the beginning that I was thinking about. You wore a lot of makeup when you were doing the Star Trek. How long did that take to put on?
That took 4 hours.
Really?
On and 4 hours to take off.
When I was 10, I couldn't sit still for like 5 minutes.
The sitting still was fine, but my skin reacted to it.
Really?
I am allergic to all of the adhesives that they use for that kind of stuff.
That's terrible. And they made you wear it for like 4 hours to put it on and
whole show? Yeah, and for days at a time. Well, I mean, again, that's part of the job.
Right.
But it burnt off the top layer of dermis. And then they just had to keep reapplying it the next day. So it was very painful. So those actors that do that on a daily basis, I don't know how they do it. And you get really claustrophobic. And I had makeup on my hands and everything, too. So my poor mother, every time I had to eat or use the bathroom, it was like being a baby again.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't know how those folks do it. It's the ones that do it on a daily basis. I would be unable to, but I'm allergic.
Now, when the actors have to go through such extraordinary things with a show like that versus, you know, Happily Ever After and that, do they get paid more to
generally
go through that excruciating
stuff? No, generally it's kind of just everyone, there's so many actors and so few jobs that generally people are just happy to be employed. No, you don't get paid extra for that.
I had a question that kind of involves an employment thing, because I've thought about, you know, the whole acting thing for a while. I've been in a lot of plays, and it's always really fun.
Uh-huh.
But I know that in Hollywood, there's a whole lot of rejection. How do you handle that? Like, going for a part and...
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's mostly rejection.
Right.
99% no, and then that 1% of the time, it's yes. Kind of, you sort of just have to tune it out. And you can't be cold or callous because you still have to care enough to try and do your best every time you put yourself out there. But my mom says, you know, the attitude to have is if they don't like you, don't take it personally. But if they do like you, take it very personally.
That works.
She always said.
Are you still friends with any of the old actors from the different shows like Happily Ever After and that?
We don't keep in constant contact, but actually, yes, the fellow who played my brother on Unhappily Ever After, named Kevin Connolly, he's on a show called Entourage now.
Yeah.
He's He was actually my boyfriend for several years.
Oh.
Really? Was he your boyfriend when you were on the show?
Uh-huh, he was.
That's awkward.
Oh, no.
Is that your brother?
Not at all. We weren't really brother and sister. He's actually remained a very good friend. I just saw him a week ago, and it was...
Yeah, I love everything he's in.
We had such a great time and laughed our heads off, and so I definitely will always care about and always stay in touch with. Beyond that, not so much. Most of my friends have real jobs.
Oh.
I don't really hang out with actor types too much.
Yeah, because I guess especially with the actors now that are in Hollywood, a lot of them are into the scene, and it seems like your life is a lot more mellower.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. And also, being an actor is like being a traveling salesman, you know, like being in the circus. So you work together, and it's super intense, and everyone's close, and then you say goodbye, and everyone goes off to different things. So it's very strange. So it's difficult to keep in touch, and everyone is always going off in different directions, and I most definitely am not in the acting, you know, the Hollywood scene at all.
Now, you're currently shooting for the Las Vegas new season now, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's going on with that? Is that going to be like a crazy schedule for you for the next 6 months, or
yeah,
how does that work?
It's going to be pretty busy. We work, you know, long hours, long days. We have weekends off like a normal job, but generally it's, you know, 12, 13-hour days, and we'll be working through until next spring.
Well, good luck.
It'll be a busy schedule, but it's good. And like I said, there's so many other actors on the show that we don't all work every day, so we have days off. Like today, I'm off. So I can't complain.
So you're hanging out at Mom's.
Yeah,
well, I am just so thrilled to have had you on the show, and the kids have definitely felt like it's the greatest day of their lives to be
my
able
gosh,
to be.
Everyone was just so nice, and it was a lot of fun, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, you've been an awesome guest, and for everybody that is just tuning in, the Star for the Night kids from the Cancer Center have been interviewing one of their favorite celebrities, Nikki Cox. And we want to thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us and for pouring your heart out to make these kids have one of the greatest days of their lives.
Thank you, guys. It was actually just a whole lot of fun. Thank you very much.
You are wonderful. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And now we're going to continue with talking to the Star for the Night kids about some of their personal experiences and giving them, you know, some insight into what they've been going through and some inspiration for our listeners. And our co-host, Michael Pingtor. Is it Pingtor, Michael, or Pingtor?
Pingtor.
Pingtor, thank you. I've always been not very perfect at the names. You know, in talking to you, Michael, and getting to know you, you're one of my favorite Star for the Night kids, and the fact that you've just excelled through your trials and tribulations, and I just want to have you on as a Star for the Night kid even more and more, because you are just, I don't know, your aura is spectacular, and your energy is so great, and always so up and perky and happy and positive. Tell us a little bit about your background and about some of your situations you've gone through that have helped you to become so inspiring.
Well, let's see. I guess I should start from the beginning. In 2001, I was diagnosed with cancer, a type of cancer called Burkitt's lymphoma, which is a very rare type of cancer. I had to deal with that for about 6 months, and that's helped me mentally and physically of how I look at the world, treat each day like there's pretty much no tomorrow, and live each day to the fullest. It's a great life. And then a few years after that, I was diagnosed again, but not with cancer, but with a disease called RSD, which is a type of nerve damage, and I have that in both my heels, so now I have this physical / mental pain that's new to the doctors that they're not really familiar with.
They're not familiar with this type of disease, or the...
They don't know. They're not familiar with it. They don't know really how to treat it. There's very few doctors that know about it, and it's just really hard to find a doctor. I have to travel all the way down to Stanford University just to get it treated, which is about a 3.5-hour drive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I just got out of the hospital Thursday from getting a nerve block, which is what I have to go through to be able to be out of pain for a little while.
And how long does that last?
It varies. When I first started, I had to get it like every day to twice a week to once a week. And it just started getting longer and longer. And now I'm at 7 months.
Wow, that's incredible. And you have you thought about traveling, like even out of the country, to try to find specialists, or are you mainly concentrating on just pain specialists and just getting through the pain part of it?
Well, I actually looked doctors anywhere in the world. I actually found a few in Germany that are great RSD specialists that help many kids with RSD, but the procedure is so risky that my mom just freaked out about it when she heard about it and said no. So I've actually just been dealing with doctors kind of nearby, and whenever they say they don't want to work on me anymore because things are starting to get out of hand, they don't know what to do anymore, they just send me to the next doctor. So I used to go to Sacramento, and then I got transferred to San Francisco to UCSF. Then they transferred me to an outpost hospital, which is called Mount Zion. Then they transferred me away from there, and then now I've been going to Stanford, and if they eventually transfer me out of that, I'll probably, well, my next stop will probably be all the way out of state in Washington and in Seattle and see what they can do for me there. If not, then I'll be going to Colorado and traveling farther and farther away from home, and it's just really hard to do and fit with my schedule. It's really hard to keep up with school because of it. And sports, it's really hard to do because I've been water skiing ever since I was 1.5 years old, and I've been a national competitor ever since I was 6. So that's really affected my life a lot. And I've actually got regionals, like I said earlier, next week, that I'm going to be competing in, which I hope I'll do good and it'll be fun. And after that, a few weeks later, I've got nationals, which I hope will be fun as well, and I hope I do good. But every time I get so much pain in my heels, I'm unable to stand up. So I actually have to go into a wheelchair, and whenever I want to do sports again, able sports like walking and stuff, I actually have to start from ground zero. I have to start all over, and it's hard, but it's a good way to see what life looks like ahead. And people have told me I've lived my life all the way to what people shouldn't have. They say I'm like an 80-year-old guy in a 17-year-old body.
I agree. You're just absolutely amazing. You know, your attitude is so strikingly amazing that you wouldn't even know that you've gone through this pain and that you're still going through the kind of stuff where you don't even know where it's going to go and where it's going to lead, and you just don't seem worried about it. And it's so inspiring. I just find you absolutely amazing. And if these doctors don't know what to do for this disease, then how did they even know what it's called?
Well, there's a few doctors that do know about it and have done a little bit of research on it, so they know a little bit more about it than other doctors, but every doctor's different, so it's really hard to just find a doctor on this because a lot of doctors are just learning about it, and the name has been changed to so many different things that it's kind of hard to keep track of it. So I've been dealing with it every day at a time, just dealing with the pain. I've been going through some biofeedback sessions to help isolate the pain, and it's helped my whole entire life with every day. So I've been doing that. And whenever I go in for a procedure or get sick or something terrible happens to me, I don't really worry about it. I just carry on, that's in the past, and look at what's next. I just look at life. like if the glass is half full. Mm-hmm. Just every day is a new day, and each day will be better.
You're so wonderful. And when you have these water ski national
water ski tournaments
coming up, and now have you won any in the past? And what's coming up with that?
Oh, probably when I was, I believe when I was 6, I won the Water Ski Western Regionals. I was pretty stoked about that.
Yay.
And then I believe when I was 8, I believe, I got third place in the nation. And right now I am ranked in the top 10 for Water Ski Nationals, and I am ranked in the top 20 or top 15 in the world for water skiing.
That is incredible. I am such your cheerleader, and I'm sure all of the listeners out there feel the same way. You're just spectacular, and I say, go, Michael, go! Go! Go, Michael, go! My Star for the Night kids have been absolutely awesome today, and we would also like to thank Nikki Cox and for all of you, if you're interested in anything that has to do with the Star for the Night show, please look on our website, www.astarforthenight.com. And thanks for listening, and say goodbye, all our Star for the Night kids.
Bye. Bye.